Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. This is the Friday show. This is Jess and Anita, retired LA cop, retired nurse. I've been married to my wife since 1983. Good morning, babe. We just came from the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass.
Good morning. What a wonderful
way to start the day, huh?
To start the day, worshiping our Lord and receiving his body.
Blood, soul, and divinity.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? And today's the first Friday of the month. As Catholics, we have a special advantage. And what I mean by that is that as Catholics, there's a devotion, an old devotion in Catholicism. Our Blessed Lord promised to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. And I just want to remind you because, again, today, if you went to Mass today and if you offer the Holy Mass in honor and reparation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, here's the promise that our Lord gave to St. Margaret Mary. What did he say, honey?
He said, I promise you in the excessive mercy of my heart that my all-powerful love will grant to all those who receive Holy Communion on the first Friday for 9 consecutive months the grace of final repentance. They shall not die in my disgrace, nor, without receiving the sacraments, my divine heart shall be their safe refuge in the last moment.
So how do they complete the First Friday devotions?
Well, the First Friday devotions, to complete that, you'd have to receive Holy Communion on each First Friday, attend Mass. The 9 Fridays must be consecutive. They must be made in honor of the reparation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
So that's today. Today's First Friday.
Absolutely. And today is promise number 8.
Because there's 12 promises, but
right.
Specifically there's one promise for every month, right?
Right. There's one. And
promise number 8 is what?
Is fervent souls shall rise speedily to great perfection. So what does that mean, fervent souls? Fervent souls are those who hear the word of God and make it and take it to heart. So all of you that read your daily scriptures, go to Mass every day, and really communicate with our Lord through scripture, you would be considered a fervent soul. So this is prayers for you.
By the way, if you pray a rosary, that's reading scripture, in case you're wondering, because
right.
the rosary is all scripture.
Yeah, because they allow the word to influence their thoughts, words, and actions. So that's something that we all, those that are converted, we have this promise specifically for ourselves.
So go to Holy Mass today and receive Holy Communion in a state of grace and offer it for the reparation to this and honor the Sacred Heart of Jesus. By the way, we're having problems with our camera, so we'll fix it right now. We're working on it, so you probably can't see us, but nonetheless, we'll continue with the show. The last time we were on, we were gone for a week. We went to, my wife and myself, we went to Denver, Colorado for training, for intensive training with Father Chad Ripperger at the Liber Christo Institute in Denver, Colorado. So we were gone last week. But the week before, we talked about a very interesting topic. And the topic is called Occult Ritual Transformation and Coronavirus. How mask wearing, hand washing, social separation, and lockdowns are age-old occult rituals being used to initiate people into a new global order. The article was written by a Protestant. His name's Steve Barwick. But again, I think there's a lot of things there that he wrote that we as Catholics can agree with. And some of the things that I think that he's off the mark, well, I'll mention them. But I want to go through some of the things that he says because I think he's tracking in the right direction.
Yeah, this is our second part of this article. So just hold on tight so we can begin our article.
Yeah, he goes to the occult website, occultworld.com, and here's what he quotes from that website on occult/world.com about the wearing of masks.
Okay, so it says, ancient peoples understood well the power of the mask. Evidence of mask wearing in prehistoric societies shows that masks may have been intended to transform the wearer magically.
Interesting.
Yep, that's what masks do. I mean, of course, Halloween gives you a prime example of
Perfect example.
Yep.
People try to act like something else.
They're not, exactly. Yeah. A make-believe person. The mask has been revered as a sacred object of power, a living thing that either has its own persona or represents the persona of another being. It enables a wearer magically to bring the to life and even become the persona or spirit being represented by the mask.
So he's just giving me the whole background from an occult website on basically the, if you want, the theology or the catechesis of wearing a mask in the world of the occult.
Yeah.
He continues.
He continues with, the mask is a mediator between the ego and the archetype, the mundane, example, worldly, and the supernatural, the sacred, and the common. It connects the present to the past, the individual to the entire collective of race, culture, country, and humanity.
Think about this. When you're walking around and you're being forced to wear a mask, don't you feel like part of the collective? You don't feel like an individual.
No, you don't.
No smiles.
Right.
You can't see the face. Everybody just got this thing halfway down under their nose that covers them. You really, again, we're part of the collective. And by the way, this is denounced in the catechism, this whole idea of collectivism. No, God made us individuals uniquely. There's nobody else like you. You're unrepeatable. But this whole mask thing, Anita, is making us all like one big blob of a human race.
Yeah, you're walking in despair. That's my sense. When we're around people with masks, it's like walking in despair, because a smile is a connection to other people. The smile, that's the silent communication between one person and another, the greeting. And
the globalists are preventing us from doing that.
Yes.
Just to be honest.
Right.
The deep state globalists are preventing us from doing this.
Absolutely. So in other words, mask wearing is symbolic of silent acceptance of humanistic one worldism under Satan. What might that eventually look like?
We're reading from a Protestant author. His name is Steve Barnick, and he's talking about the occult rituals being used during this lockdown to initiate a new global order. I think, again, he's tracking on the right direction, and I'm looking at a picture here. It got a young man with a mask. He's on his knees, like in a position of prayer. He's looking at the television, and the television has these words across: remain terrified, question nothing, stay home.
And that's what you're getting in the evening news, the cable, some of the cable news, Fox
Complete
News.
Complete fear-mongering.
Yeah, just putting all these statistics on the side and how many deaths, and it's horrific the way they're ginning up these numbers, and it's pathetic.
It's just causing fear, not causing hope or confidence.
Right, no hope. Mm.
And that's where our president comes in. Again, this is why we're so behind our president, because when he speaks, he always speaks with a sense of hopefulness. He speaks, you know, in a
very positive, uplifting.
Yes. He's not a doomsday prophet like the media. Mm-hmm. Oh, the sky is, look at how many people.
He believes in life. He believes in life.
In the sanctity of life.
In the sanctity of life. So that.
His enemies don't, by
the way. Right. His enemies don't. So they want to just chop at his objective and his moral compass.
His objective is to raise everybody up. He knows that if he raises up the U.S. It's like, you know, it's like you put water in a pool, okay? And you got a bunch of, you know, boats in the pool, okay? Little boats, toy boats. All the boats are lifted up when you fill the pool with water. Everything is lifted up. That's why he wants to make America great, because if the American economy is raised up, all the other nations are raised up as well, because they're connected to us. And so it's not that he doesn't care about other countries. On the contrary, he cares about them, and he knows in order to raise up their game, he has to raise up America's standard, which his enemies are trying to destroy.
Right, and that's where he's telling them, I'm not going to give you a fish. I'm going to teach you how to fish, and that's his goal. for the whole world, because it's like a domino effect.
Let me paint a picture for the audience that we're looking at here in this article.
Yes.
Again, a guy's kneeling down, a young guy, he's got a face mask, he's watching a television, a big screen. It says, it's the news media, remain terrified, question nothing, stay home. On the bottom of it says in the caption, it says, the precursor to Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. It reads like this, quote, it was then permitted to breathe life into the beast image so that the beast image could speak and could have anyone who did not worship it put to death. Very interesting. Again, where is this going to take us? As you can see, there's much, much more to the wearing of masks than what we've been led to believe. And I agree with this Protestant author on this. Mask wearing, this is the Protestant author, he's saying, is a very occultic phenomena and always has been, literally for thousands of years. I agree with him. I look at the Aztecs, the Incas, the Peruvians. You look at African tribal cultures. You look at Vikings, Nords. Every single pagan culture, their big thing was wearing these hideous masks. And so that's the point that he's making. He says, indeed, it's a striking example of mysterion, a secret religious initiation having to do with silence being imposed by shutting the mouth. Again, according to the Strong's Concordance, the word mystery from the title of Mystery Babylon consists of the idea of silence imposed by the initiation into religious rites. We'll be right back. Jess and Anita, Tobias and Sarah, Jesus 911 Friday Show. We'll be right back. Enjoy the music. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
Sirach 11:24 says, do not say, I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now? According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Lupe, pray for us. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us. Boy, oh boy, do we need her more than ever right now.
Absolutely.
We're talking about an article written by a Protestant, Steve Barwick. I think he's tracking in the right direction in a lot of things that he's saying. And he went to an occult website, occult-world.com, And he's kind of showing some of the occult underpinnings of all this crazy hand-washing, social separation, mask-wearing, lockdowns. And he's arguing that these are age-old ritual, occult rituals being used to initiate people into a new world order. I just find what he says very interesting, very thoughtful, because he's going, again, right to the website of these occultic groups, and he's quoting them in their own words. He says this: "Surely by now you understand that the mask wearing has nothing to do with the coronavirus." Agree. "But instead with the filthy pagan and occult beliefs of our present overlords." Yep. "Who are
the
seeking..."
Government.
Yeah. The liberal progressive government. The leftist,
yes.
Globalist, socialist. Right. "Who are seeking to make us their willing slaves through psychological programming, a.k.a. occult ritual programming. Hey, don't be surprised," he writes. "This is what occultists do. Like the story of the lady who rescues the hapless snake, only to have it bite her later. But when she asks the snake, 'Why did you bite me?' the snake simply replies, 'Because I'm a snake, lady. That's what we do.'" What else does he say, Anita?
He also says, "In making you wear a mask, the powers that be are initiating you into their new order. They're demoting you from your position as a sovereign representative on earth to the Most High God to your new position as a dependent slave to their system." So they're taking you from a worshiper of our Lord and Savior down to worshiping them. That's pretty much what he's saying.
Yep.
Also, their mystery Babylon, which could very simply be translated silent confusion. He continues with, "Can the power of this occult ritual be stopped? Yes, it can, and quite easily for any Christian. As a Christian, you can simply opt out of the ritual. Stop participating. Withdraw your consent."
Can you imagine if
everybody just said, "That's it. I'm done. We know what the game is all about. We're going to stop it. This is unfair."
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. Somebody who does that quite well, she's sitting right next to me, to my right. My wife has been bucking the system since day one. I'm proud of her. Anywhere she goes, she just takes off the mask. She doesn't wear it. She walks into the markets. Everybody's looking at her. And she just walks like, you know, hum-de-dum-de-dum. I'm here shopping. Goes to the post office. She's bucking the system everywhere. She's just saying, "You know what? I'm not sick.
And I'm not sick.
I'm tired of playing this game."
Absolutely. If I was sick, you think I would be out in the marketplace doing errands? Absolutely not.
So I'll tell you what.
As a nurse, that's what I, because I know a lot. So I don't believe, and there's all doctors that concur with me that are being censored.
Absolutely.
So there's censorship. That's why this is just going, I mean, off the charts.
Yeah, and so my wife and myself were dissenters, but I'll say especially her. I mean, but I'm like, you know, anywhere she goes, I said, "Hey, where's your mask?" "I'm not taking it." And people probably look at her, and she says, "I just don't look at them. I just mind my own business and go shopping or do what I'm going to do." In other words, and I'll tell you who is also not playing the game. There's a lot of Protestant denominations around the country, especially in California, that are saying, "We're done." I won't mention them because I don't want to out them in case the lefties are listening. But they're saying, "No, we're having full services, our Protestant services, with their praise and worship and singing, and people aren't wearing masks, and they're hip to hip, shoulder to shoulder. They're not playing the game no more." And I hope Catholics are inspired to do the same thing.
Yep, I hope so too.
Okay, the author goes on now to talk about ritual daily hand washings in light of the occult. He makes some very powerful connections. And again, we're not saying that as Catholics we totally agree with what he's saying, but he makes some good points. So where I disagree, where I think he's off the plumb line, I'll mention it. But boy, oh boy, he's tracking in the right direction. This is just kind of an overview of the globalists attacking the Christianity, Catholics and Protestants. So what does he say about ritual daily hand washings?
Well, you know, the writer says, "We've now discovered that the global mask wearing phenomena is part of an occult initiation ritual design to usher the initiate into a new paradigm, a new position in a new global order. The mask itself signals one's consent to change and symbolizes loss of one's previous sovereign position as a faithful Christian carrying forth God's word." So what about the other rituals they've imposed upon us, such as a daily ritual washing of hands? Perhaps you've dutifully washed your hands 8 or 10 times a day now for months on end, thinking it's a way to keep the virus from infecting you. And yes, there is indeed some truth to the idea of washing one's hands to help prevent the spread of an infectious organism. But in reality, for the purpose of occult ritual initiation, the powers that be have you symbolically washing your hands of your duties to Christ himself.
Interesting point he makes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And he argues it here. Go ahead.
Right. To the occultists, this forced occult ritual washing of the hands reverses Pilate's public hand-washing ritual, which for the last 2,000 years has put the onus for Christ's death on the hands of the ritualists themselves and absolved Christ and the Romans of all guilt. In Matthew 27:24, he quotes a scripture, "When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ya to it."
Pilate performed a ritual washing of his hands in front of all the people of Israel as a means of placing responsibility for the Lord's death directly on the hands of those who made sure he would be crucified.
And there you get that saying, people said, I wash my hands of him, I'm done. And people, symbolically, that's what they're doing when they give up on something or someone that doesn't agree with them. Yeah,
that's a good connection that he's making here.
Yeah,
the author,
absolutely.
Steve Barwick.
Yes.
I find it very compelling.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure a lot of secular people that don't know it's a biblical,
it's a biblical
scripture,
gesture,
yeah,
yes.
gesture, that they're using it.
That's
funny?
Right. Yep. He says, now the powers that be in this day and age, who are descendants of those very same earthly powers who slew Christ on that cross on Calvary, have you working each day in a cult symbolic ritual to reverse the impact of Pilate's original ritual hand washing, as well as his pronouncement of Christ's innocence. The author says what?
He says, wash your hands. The powers that be tell you every single day on the nightly news, spend at least 30 seconds on each finger of your hands and on your palms and on the back of your hands. Do this repeatedly throughout the day if you want to live. Wait a minute. As a nurse, that's the first thing we were taught. It's just fundamentals of nursing, where you learn to wash your hands. But that's, I mean, I myself, even with this pandemic, I have not changed my hand washing habits. You know, we all go to the bathroom. We all should wash our hands before we eat. Wash our hands before we prepare food. We wash our hands. Those are the things that should. And when you cough, if you use your mouth to cover your when you cough and you use your hand to cover, you know, you want to wash your hands. This is common sense. Something that we've always done, and they're making it. Oh, you better wash your hands because why?
It's a sacrament to the left.
Because you want to live. Oh, in other words, they're saying, if you don't wash your hands, you're going to die. You're going to die.
So see the replacement of the Eucharist here? No,
absolutely.
If you want to live, you need to receive the Eucharist. That's
absolutely.
If you want eternal life.
Yeah.
But for the left, they're trying to, this is their Eucharistic theology. Hey, you want to live, have eternal life? Wash your hands. Mm-hmm. Look what the author says here. This is a bomb, he says. So your acceptance of the ritual mask wearing alchemically begins creating the new you. The initiated servant moving from his old position into the new. And your ritual hand washing of hands has you symbolically, albeit unconsciously, washing away your old position, your old master and his prescribed ways, that's God, in anticipation of your new master and his, that's the government. It's that simple.
Yep.
Hand washing, the author says, is the occult ritualistic symbol of rejection. That's what you just said,
yep.
That. When you fall for the hand-washing ritual, you're symbolically washing away your old life under Christ, the author writes, in willing acceptance of your new life under the new order, this new globalist government of the enemy and his many antichrists who have been pulling off this coup from the start.
Yeah, that's...
He makes some very,
incredible.
Very strong points.
Yes,
I like I like his the way he's connecting some dots. My brain's popping here.
Yeah. Yep.
Now he talks about social distancing. What does he say there?
Yeah, he talks about social distancing. Let's see. So the writer says, so if the masking ritual signal one's consent to change and symbolizes loss of one's previous sovereign position as a faithful Christian carrying forth God's word, and the hand washing ritual symbolizes the washing away of the old Christian order, so the new order can be ushered in. What does the, quote, social distancing, end quote, ritual signify? This one's almost too easy to spot. Right off the bat, the use of the magical number 6, as in 6 feet apart, should set your spidey senses on edge, meaning, of course, your God-given discernment. After all, there's no more widely used occult number in the world than the number 6. As you know, the Antichrist's number, Antichrist's very number is 666.
Or
666.
I'm looking at a picture here put out by the CBS News. Let me describe it to you. It's got people going into a restaurant. It looks hilarious. It's sad to see. So there's a restaurant in Maryland, and they're using bumper tables to keep the customers 6 feet apart. Once they step inside.
They're inner tubes, it looks like. They're big tubes.
It looks ridiculous. I can't believe.
Social distancing. They're walking. They're inside. It's like if you're going to go, like here, Salt River rafting, water rafting, you're in these big tubes. Well, each person singly is in
a
tube.
As they're going into the restaurant.
It's crazy.
The picture says on the bottom, it says social distancing as state-mandated humiliation. If restaurants carry out the governor's edicts, they can get you to participate in this new normal. It's a clear message that the government can do anything to you without repercussion. So I'm just asking about how far are they going to push this nonsense? The article says what next here? The powers.
Okay, the powers that be assure us that if we'll all walk 6 feet apart, we won't catch coronavirus. Do you really need me to explain why that's a bunch of hogwash? Are you not aware that there are already millions of viruses in every breath of air you take? No matter where you walk, those viruses are there, somewhere between 1.6 million to 40 million. Okay, I guess we're coming on to a break. We'll continue our article.
Yep, showing you the occult underpinnings of what's happening right now.
And we bring in Our Lady.
Oh, yeah, enjoy the music.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Yeah, but so, you can still hear our voices. This is Jess and Anita, the Friday show of Jesus 911, talking about spiritual warfare topics on Fridays. What are we talking about right now? There's a well-written article, I believe, that a Protestant by the name of Steve Barwick, he's showing a lot of the what's happening right now through this coronavirus, that we're being forced to follow all these regulations. We're seeing the fact that as Catholics and even Protestants, people of goodwill, they're having to do all these things. And this Protestant author argues that there's occult underpinnings to all of this. I find that very interesting. So let's continue. And again, we're having technical difficulties with our camera. But he's talking about no matter where you walk, those viruses, go ahead, continue.
Yeah. No matter where you walk, those viruses are there. Somewhere between 1.6 million to 40 million viruses in every cubic meter of air we pass through as we walk. So for those of you that are wearing those masks, you're still going to get those viruses. Doesn't matter. You're 6 feet apart. You can't escape them except perhaps in a full-blown hazmat suit with an air tank that you need to leave running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Can you imagine everybody wearing a hazmat suit? Talk about separation and not knowing anybody.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So much like mask wearing, social distancing is a lie. It cannot possibly work. Yet we're being forced to participate in it. But why would they do so? And if it can't really help against viruses, what's its occult purpose? Well, try this on for size. Each of us are individual but integral parts of the many-membered body of Christ. We don't just walk with Christ. True Christians walk in Christ. So he cites Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. So as you received Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted in him and built upon him, established in the faith as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving.
Therefore, the author writes, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. But symbolically speaking, the ritual of social distancing at the magical 6 feet apart is the part of the initiation ritual that separates you from Christ. I just find this very interesting, very very detective-like of this Protestant author, these connections he's making. He writes, rather than walking in him, in Jesus, as his personal ambassador on this earth, you're now symbolically and ritualistically separated from him, like Kevin Bacon in his 6 degrees of separation. So what's the 6 degrees of separation by Kevin Bacon or Bacon's Law? It's a parlor game based on the 6 degrees of separation concept, which posits that any two people on earth are six or fewer acquaintances links apart. And there's a lot of movie buffs that challenge each other to find the shortest path between an arbitrary actor and prolific actor like Kevin Bacon. And it rests on the assumption that anyone involved in the Hollywood film industry can be linked through their film roles to Bacon within six steps. And in 2007, Bacon started a charitable organization called 6degrees.org. So the author writes this. He writes, 6 feet from the Father, 6 feet from the Son, 6 feet from the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's 666. The occult ramifications are undeniable.
But that's not all, the writer says. He continues with, each individual Christian must remain 6 feet away from all other Christians. Do you understand what the powers that be are doing? Ritualistically and symbolically, let me explain it. As a member of the body of Christ, you're supposed to be an integral part of the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. As it's written, he quotes Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, with the proper functioning of each part, brings about the body's growth and builds itself up in love. So there you go. We're through Scripture, we're called to be together, to be like me and my husband.
Yeah, not only spiritually, but even physically. That's why the church calls us to assemble.
Touching.
Assemble in the church.
Is so important for the welfare and the
psychological fitness.
Right, actually.
I've been married to my wife for almost 40 years. I can you imagine? Okay, I'm not going to hug you no more. We've been married for almost 40 years.
I'm not going to touch you.
I'm going to touch you. No holding hands. No kissing.
You know how.
Are you kidding?
That divides you. That divides you.
And he's making a good argument here, this Protestant author.
Absolutely.
He said, go ahead, what did he say here?
He continues with, the term joined and held together in the above verse means joined, joint to joint, or close jointed. The word compacted in the above verse means united. So there you go. We are united. We're joined together. In other words, Christians are supposed to come together, sinew to sinew, and joint to joint, tightly united in the body of Christ. And through preaching his word, we're to help bring others into the tightly knit body to help the body grow. Well, there you go. There's where Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches.
Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Absolutely. There you go. There's another scripture verse where
that supports Jesus, that.
Absolutely.
But these globalists and these Wuhan communist virus and again, the Democrats in this country, the liberals, the progressives, they're trying. It's like they're establishing a new world order. They keep saying that the Democrat governors, get used to this. This is the new normal. And I'm just wondering if President Trump wins in November, they're going to say, you know what, let's just continue doing this. We've got the CDC on our side and the WHO, and we got the communists on our side. Let's just keep promoting this, that we have to stay 6 feet apart and wear masks and stuff. Who knows how long this is going to go? The article says, but the occult ritual initiation rule of 6 feet of separation symbolically neutralizes this command. What command? That we all be together as the body of Christ. Remember, this is a form of occult magic. Symbols are everything in occult magic. It puts arbitrary man-made distance between those who are supposed to have no distance at all between them. That's Christians.
Yep.
It rips the metaphorical body of Christ apart at the seams, symbolically speaking. It separates the joints and sinews that are supposed to be so tightly knit together. But as a well-studied and faithful Christian, you know there's absolutely nothing on this earth that can separate you from the love of Christ, Romans 8:35 to 39. And that especially includes some stupid occult ritual, writes this Protestant writer.
Yeah. He continues with, nevertheless, ritual occult magic is what the powers that be do. They glory in it. Their Kabbalah is full of it. It's what they've done for thousands of years. In other words, it's what they sincerely believe in, and it's what they want us to buy into without critical thought. Centuries ago, they brought their occult ritual Kabbalistic magic all the way back from the Babylon. Now they've opened the ancient books, and they're unleashing the rituals in the final days of this flesh earth age. And the worst part of it is this. It's actually working. People are doing it. People are falling for it because of the sheer depth of breadth of the deception. And all of this over a virus with a 99.5% survival rate. Talk about putting people into global trance.
The author writes this. He says, in the end, the ritual of forced social distancing is designed to symbolically negate or neutralize God's word in a multitude of ways. How so? By number one, eliminating fellowship between believers. Number two, by stopping church services worldwide. Number three, by causing faithful church pastors to be cited or even arrested for holding church services. Number four, by causing faithful congregants to be cited or even arrested for attending church services. And all this has happened, by the way. Number five, by symbolically tearing apart the mystical and metaphysical body of Christ, which is supposed to be joined and held together. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3, the prophet asks a very simple question. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, quote, "Do two journey together unless they have agreed?" Close quote. Well, two Christians can't walk together if the powers that be can force them to walk 6 feet apart. Why? We are a living temple of Christ with each brick pressed up against the next, like the sinews running through your physical body, as it's written in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says, quote, "And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ."
Yeah, he continues, "But you can't put together a many-membered body, a living temple of God on earth. If you can't press the bricks up close to each other in the building process, you know what happens when there are gaps in the seams between the bricks. It gives the rats an easy way to get into the temple." Hmm. Doesn't that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the rats are in the temple right now. That's what I see, how
yep.
I see it.
Yep.
The bottom line is that the social distancing ritual is symbolically designed to physically and spiritually limit the impact of Christianity on this earth and put a halt to the growth of the many-membered body of Christ in the final days of this earth age. It's a very clever ritual, but there is one thing the powers that be have overlooked. Quote, "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." That's amazing.
Matthew chapter 19, verse 6.
Right, right. God has been putting together his many-membered body of Christ for some 2,000 years now, and we've all worked hard to build it further.
Oh, I hear the music.
Yes.
Enjoy the music. That's Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us. St. Joseph Carabinus, pray for us. We're talking about the occult underpinnings of everything that's happening to us right now.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
What a beautiful thing to meditate on.
Pray for us.
Yes, Our Lady of Guadalupe, we love you. We love you. And we're asking you to pray for us. She's the patroness of the Americas, and in some way, shape, or form, we're going to win through Our Lady through all of this. I don't know how, but we know that Our Lady, the reign of Mary will come about before the second coming of Christ. We're going to receive kind of the first fruits of the victory of the resurrection through Our Lady. How and when? I don't know. Let's keep praying our rosaries every day.
Absolutely.
And let's keep praying our Angelus every day. We got Hector on the line. Hector wants to make a comment about what we're talking about today. Hector, you're on. Go.
How's everybody doing? Hey, no, I just want to make a quick...
Good morning, Hector.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we
yes,
can hear you.
Can.
Perfect. Go ahead, comment, brother.
Okay. Yeah, so at work, what they're going to start doing, they have a whole planning committee, so they're going to start putting, like, plastic draperies with zippers between offices. So each cubicle is going to have, like, its own plastic castle over it, and you have to come in with the zipper. So it kind of looks like you're going into a body bag. I mean, this is the stuff they're spending their
what
money
an
on. I mean, they're looking – it looks – instead of giving people a bonus or here, you know, we know you guys are going through some hard time. Here's some extra cash or something. No, they're just going to – they're wasting all their money. I mean, they don't even give us hand sanitizer. They give us isopropyl alcohol to sanitize our hands. So we're not – I mean, we don't get that fancy, you know, good smelling hand sanitizer. No, it's like, here's some alcohol.
It dries your hands.
It dries your hands. I mean that, we could take it, but a lot of that stuff is not good for you. So,
Hector,
I mean, they just – hand. Yes, go ahead.
Hector, you know what they're doing? Let's just be honest. They're reprogramming all of us. And they're reprogramming our mind. And I don't really know what their end game is. But I will tell you this. The Jews were reprogrammed also to believe that Nazism was going to be very friendly to the Jewish people. And they put them in boxcars and said, we're going to take you to a special place. And so, again, that's why this election in November is very important. Do we want liberty, what's left of it, or do we want tyranny and socialism and communism? And people like you and I and my wife may be asked, oh, you bunch of you non-believing, non-compliant dissenters, we'd like to put you in a boxcar and take you to a nice resort where you're going to have all kinds of fun and pleasure. I'm just telling you, Hector, I know we're laughing, but remember, governments... The enemy of the Catholic Church historically has been two things in Scripture. False religions, I'll name one, Islam, Satanism, and governments, okay? Roman Empire.
Correct.
Communism, fascism, you know, Mussolini, socialism, communism, Nazism. Those are the two enemies of the Church historically. False religions and government. And so we can't minimize the danger that a liberal progressive government can do. I mean, they're doing it right now. They're not even empowering the White House.
Yes. I think I'm just contemplating on this, and I think, wow, they're not afraid of the supernatural. They're afraid of the natural. I'm going to die. We got to protect ourselves because this virus is going to kill us. Yes, absolutely. Some people have passed away, unfortunately, of this virus. But most of those people have been those with comorbidities or those elderly people. Those are the people that have pretty much have succumbed to this virus. But you know, looking at the virus, the H1N1 killed more people than this one. And we need to, you know.
And nobody panicked.
And nobody panicked.
There was no panic.
There was no panic.
Or shutdowns.
There was no social distancing. There was no super duper hand washing to make your skin fall off. I mean, it's just.
And I'll tell you why there wasn't any of that, because Barack Obama was in office.
Absolutely.
And so the globalists were very happy, and they're saying, you know what? This is horrible. A lot of people are dying, but we're not going to make a lot of hay of it because we got our men in office.
It's the same thing. The elderly and the ones with the comorbidities. Those were the ones with the immune systems that were really are depressed.
Well, Hector, hang in there, brother. Hang in there at work and stuff, and be a light. You know, let your light shine before men and be a light for Christ out there in the secular world.
Thanks for sharing your.
Thanks, Anita. Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah, you got it, brother. God bless you.
God bless you, Hector.
God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
He was sharing his
his woe.
Yeah, his woe.
Like, woes. What? They're doing that? That's crazy.
Okay, so we continue with the article. The Protestant writer making these connections between occult practices and what's happening right now to us as a result of the lockdown. He says this, and we follow that command by exposing the occult rituals of the powers that be. We should stop participating in the global rituals and their components, and we resume our work for the Lord. We walk together in Christ, tightly knit, never 6 feet apart, physically or spiritually. And whatever you do, don't let the Karens of this world get your goat on social distancing either. It's not their business where or how you walk your walk in the Lord, but always know that these thoroughly, mentally confused, out-of-work hall monitors are out there, these Karens, and they despise you for your choice and of not consenting to the new order.
Yeah, the ritual of lockdowns and social isolation. Now we left that. Now we're going to do the lockdowns. Stay home. You've seen these on the freeways, billboards, on the news. Stay home. Stay safe. Save lives. Oh, my gosh. By doing that, you think you're going to save lives. Okay, he continues, that's what we're being told anyway. Yet a recent study of New York area hospitals demonstrates that a whopping 66% of all coronavirus hospitalizations have been among people who wore masks, washed their hands, practiced 6 feet of separation, and stayed home. Interesting, isn't that? In other words, the vast majority of the hospitalizations were among people who followed the rules, prompting the Daily Mail to ask in the headline news article, does lockdown even work? And that's a study led by Day Henderson, a man who eradicated smallpox, found draconian lockdown for flu pandemics ineffective and even destructive.
Yeah, that's an internet article. You can read it.
Yeah, you can get.
Yeah, it says study led by D.A. Henderson. He's a doctor.
Yeah.
The man who eradicated smallpox found draconian lockdown for flu pandemics ineffective and even destructive. Did you catch that? So we continue with the article. And by the way, D.A. Henderson's no lightweight. He's the former dean of Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, and he's the man who eradicated smallpox. In fact, in 2006, this doctor, he wrote a paper on infectious diseases and socioeconomic grounds, and it's something that's being taken serious by experienced epidemiologists. Epidemiologists, I said it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did.
So, if lockdowns don't work, then why on God's green earth are our global overlords, the globalists, making us stay at home? From an occult point of view, there's an answer. Number one, lockdowns are little more than social isolation rituals performed for the purpose of purifying the initiate so he can enter the new world, the new order, unimpeded by things of the past, no longer considered by the powers that be to be beneficial to the initiate. So that's how they're looking at us.
Yeah.
We're the initiates. And there's basically four stages to an isolation ritual.
Yeah, the basic four stages that the writer states are stage one, isolation for purification. In other words, you're cut off from the normal and thrust into a new normal. There's that word again. That's completely different than your past life. The second stage is you surrender to the new normal. This often involves being given a token gift. Think of the stimulus check that people have been getting. leading the initiate, believe he's being well taken care of by his new overlords, so there's no need to rebel against a new order, to the new order, one who is being initiated into. Stage three, sacrifice. No gift can be given without something being taken. In this case, your dignity, your sovereign independence, your voice, your individual power on this earth as an ambassador of the word of the Most High God. All of these things and more are being taken from you in exchange for the cold, quote unquote, comfort of a new way in the new world. Stage four is submission. Think mandatory vaccines, social tracing, the willing acceptance of new rules for the new order. Once again, the idea is that the new person being initiated into the new order, that's what they're trying to do to all of us, needs to be psychologically, if not physically, purged of the old way before gradually being initiated into the new way.
The liberals are taking us through an RCIA program into secular humanism. That's what it is. They're taking us through a four-stage of phase of catechesis into secular humanism and the denial of God and moral relativism. That's what's happening right now. Yeah. There's a whole lot to get into still. We'll save the rest because we're going on to another topic where we're not going to get to cover it. It's called avoidthemark.com. We'll talk about that next time. But as Catholics, what should we be doing so that we can fight the good fight of faith? Think micro. Think this. Hey, your family is a domestic church. And so as a Catholic, we've been here before. And our Lord Jesus Christ told St. Faustina in paragraph 1760, look what he told her. He says something powerful to her.
Yes, he told her, know that you are a great stage.
On a great stage.
On a great stage where all heaven and earth are watching you. Fight like a knight so I can reward you. Do not be unduly fearful because you are not alone.
That's our Lord to St. Faustina.
We're on a stage. We're performing.
Yeah.
Everybody, just remember, everything you do, you are performing. And your performance is going to determine whether you will reach the beatific vision or you'll be damned.
That's right.
Plain and simple.
And I'm going to tell you right now, the best thing that yesterday's gospel, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hold on to the steering wheel. Don't turn left. Don't turn right. Keep it straight. Pray the rosary every single day from your heart. Go to Mass as often as possible. Read your Bible every day, the Mass readings every day. On Fridays, penance, penance, penance. And remember to try to go to confession. If you're not in a state of grace, as soon as possible. If you're in a state of grace, stay that way by going to confession once a month.
And remember the Christian order, faith, family, freedom in Christ.
Amen. And remember, we're all going to die one day. Make sure that before you die, you leave it all out in the field. As they say in baseball and football and all sports, leave it all out in the field. Up next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics from the Midwest Command Center. We'll see you next week, same Christ time, same Christ channel. Our Lady Guadalupe,
pray for us. We love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.